We have some people in here. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to our session. I just have a question I think that's relevant to all of us before we begin. How many people here use Chef or have heard of Chef? Yay, three, yes. How many people here use Sousa? Yay, excellent. All right. Okay, again, thank you and good morning. Welcome to our session on how to manage Linux and Azure and Operations Management Suite. My name is Ryan Irujo. I am a senior technical consultant with Lumigate, and I specialize in automation and cloud-based services and solutions. If you had something else,
yeah,
I think we cut you off.
Go
ahead.
I just want to say that I work at SUSE. SUSE, for the ones who doesn't know what that is, it's the first commercial enterprise Linux. I'm based in Stockholm. I speak both Swedish and English, so I would be happy to chat with you if you have time afterwards. I will be in booth D15. And I'm here to present a couple of solutions that makes life easy for Windows users who are not so familiar with Linux to build, deploy, and manage Linux in Azure. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so this session is a little bit unique, mainly because we all have demos, and unfortunately, my demo takes 30 minutes to run. Because of that, I am going to start the first 10 minutes of this session and also finish at the last 10 minutes so you guys aren't staring at a screen for 30 minutes. At the end, of course, we will take Q&A, and as Leo pointed out, we will all be in booth D15 at the end of the session. All right, so I am here to talk to you about automating Linux deployment in Azure using Azure Resource Management templates. Before I get into exactly what ARM templates are and why you should be using them, I just want to talk first about the original way of how you would manage resources in Azure. So if you're using the Azure Service Management portal now, you know that if you deploy VMs, deploy compute, networking, storage, that all the resources that you're deploying are in different categories. You can't track interdependencies. You can't see the dependencies. And God forbid, if you have to delete anything, you're trying to track down errors based upon, you know, you have something stored somewhere that you didn't realize exists, and you end up looking like this half the time because you're chasing your tail. So Azure Resource Manager solves this issue or addresses it by allowing you to group all of the resources that you're deploying into Azure into distinct groups known as resource groups. Because everything is stored in a distinct resource group at the same time, you're easily able not only to manage and update resources based upon the groups, but as soon as you're done with them, you can just immediately delete the resource group and everything that you had within it is immediately removed. So, Azure Resource Manager has a programmatic way of managing these said resources in resource groups known as ARM templates. An ARM template is simply just a programmatic way of deploying resources in Azure using JSON. So I'm going to demo today to you how to actually do this. And before I show you the demo, I wanted to go over exactly what's going to be deployed from this ARM template that I'll be demonstrating. So I'm going to be deploying two Linux servers, one Ubuntu, one SUSE, yay! Two NIC cards, two public IP addresses. All of this is going to be self-contained within its own subnet. All the VHDs are going to be stored in a storage container that we'll just lovingly call for now Contoso Linux Storage. And then after all those resources have been deployed, there are two custom extensions that are available for use with ARM templates, which I will discuss in a moment, that are going to be used to install and configure the Chef server on the Ubuntu server, and to also install the Chef client and the Chef DK on the SUSE box. At the end of that run at the same time, it's also going to bootstrap the SUSE box to the Chef server. And if you've done any bootstrapping with Chef, it's always fun doing that as a manual process. All this, of course, is contained with its own resource group, which is, of course, in Azure. Part of this to be aware of is that I have my own GitHub repository that I am storing the custom scripts in, and the ARM template will be pulling down those scripts and then using them on the actual target systems to run the scripts. All right. Now for the demo. All right. So before I actually kick off the deployment here, I'm going to kick it off in another window. I want to be able to show you exactly what components make up an ARM template. So you're able to configure parameters within the ARM template, and these allow you to basically customize how you want to name and configure your resources in your environment, such as the name of your server, the usernames you want to use, the passwords you want to use. Point of note, this information is encrypted as well, because you can set it as a secure string if you'd like. The OS version you want to use, the OS SKU, you have a lot of different options of what you can do with parameters. Additionally, you have variables. I don't have any variables in here because, frankly, they are optional. And currently, Microsoft is still in the process of figuring out what exactly are the best practices for ARM template deployment, and we're also trying to figure that out ourselves. So just know that you can use variables in the traditional sense, in the fact that if you have particular values that you want hard-coded in your template, you can use them here, and then, of course, instead of hard-coding them in the template, use the variables to replace said values within it. And then finally, the actual meat of this, the resources that you're deploying in here. So, for instance, I have a resource configuration here in JSON for my virtual networks, for my storage, for each NIC card for each VM, the public IP addresses that I'm creating, and I'm creating them to be dynamic IPs in here. You have the option to use static. And then, of course, I have the actual VMs themselves in here. And what makes ARM template deployment really powerful, I think, are two major things. The fact that I have the ability to use custom extensions in here, and these extensions that currently are for things like PowerShell DSC, PowerShell, Linux scripting, so it could be Bash, Perl, whatever Linux scripting language you want to use. And also there are extensions for Chef, Docker, and Puppet. The other thing that makes deployments very powerful or very agile, if you will, is the ability to define dependencies in here during your deployment. So in this case here for the SUSE box, before the actual script kicks off, it's making sure first that the SUSE server is in fact up and running. Secondly, I'm able to create a dependency to ensure that the Chef server script on the Ubuntu server has finished running and is installed and configured Chef before I try to bootstrap or install anything else on the SUSE box. All right. So that's just a quick overview of, again, what's in an ARM template. I'm going to deploy this from Visual Studio. And just to mention, I'm swapping in here into an RDP session because of everything I'm using in here. But it's the exact same template. From Visual Studio, what I'm doing in here is I'm just quickly creating a new resource group, putting it in the region that I want to deploy this in. I'm selecting West Europe for both the ARM template location and the resource group. And then I'm going to kick this off and just click on deploy. And then you have a PowerShell script that is designed and built called Deploy Azure Resource Group that actually deploys the the ARM template for you from within Visual Studio, and the results will come up after a while. And because, again, I don't want you guys waiting here, Leo will take over from here, and I will, again, finish at the end of the session. Is that you?
There we are. Hello, nice to be back again. And before I start my presentation, for the ones who wonder, my other machine runs SUSE Linux. This one is a Windows machine. So as I mentioned in my introduction, I'm going to present for you a couple of solutions that makes it easy, even for people who are not familiar with Linux, Windows users, to build, deploy, and manage Linux in Azure. As you already know, many organizations today, nowadays, have a mix of Windows and Linux servers. The problem here is that few have trained Windows and Linux admins that are enough for, for these organizations. To target this problem, Microsoft and SUSE have worked together and have come up with a number of solutions. And here I'm presenting two of these that are targeting the problem in Azure. One is SUSE Studio, which is a web-based, publicly available, free to use for everyone, web application. From there, you can quickly and easily deploy your application on Linux in Azure. And the other one is an integration of SCOM with SUSE Manager. SUSE Manager is a Linux management solution. And that enables SCOM administrators to also manage the Linux service in Azure. SCOM, I suppose you know most of you what it is. It stands for it's Microsoft System Center Operation Manager. These solutions provide Linux lifecycle management in Azure. On the left side, you can see SUSE Studio, which I mentioned is a web-based, publicly available, free-to-use application, web application. With this, Windows users can create, configure, build and deploy their applications on Linux into Azure. So what you get is images in Azure, and you can use the Azure Management Portal to create virtual machines and run them, as you would do with Windows images. Down here, we see a couple of virtual machines running Linux. We also see Windows. And on this side, we also see SCOM integrated with SUSE Manager that enables it to also manage Linux machines, virtual machines, in Azure, more over to Windows, which is the default functionality. Now I would like to present for you how you can easily build and deploy Linux images to Azure with SUSE Studio. It's a very easy, straightforward process. You just visit susestudio.com. Please do that if you have time. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free to use, so you can try it out. Once there, you create and configure an image by pointing and clicking. Step three, you check the box to build an Azure workload, so you build an image for Azure. And then step four, you click on a button and upload this image that you have created into Azure. After a couple of minutes, you are done, and the image will appear in the Azure gallery in the management portal of Azure. I suppose most of you are familiar with this. It will appear in My Images, as it's a custom image. It will have your application, your stuff, whatever you like to have in it. There, in the Azure gallery, you will also find standard images, Linux images, that you can choose if you also would like to start them up. In both cases, you can choose an image and create a virtual machine based on it. I'm going to demo this, but before that, I would also like to present the other solution, which makes it easy to manage Linux from a familiar interface from SCOM. So this solution is an integration of SCOM with SUSE Manager. And with that integration, you get the ability to patch your Linux servers from SCOM in Azure. That's the primary functionality. It's not the only one, of course. There are other stuff. You can install an upgrade, remove packages. You can check the health and update status of your Linux servers. You can select a list of updates and see which servers are entitled to these updates. You can get alerts for critical updates. You can schedule maintenance windows to update a Linux service or a group of servers. We support here all Linux servers that are using RPM as a package format. There are other things, that, like you can run remote commands and so on, but patching is the primary ability that the admins of SCOM are asking for. If you would need even more functionality, in the same in Azure, there is also the web interface of SUSE Manager that has much more functionality that you can also use as an admin, for instance, to auto-install Linux servers. So now I would like to demo these two products. First, I would like to demo SUSE Studio. I'm going to show here how you can go to the site, create, configure, build the image, and then upload it to Azure. If we had time, which we don't, we could also see how you can, from the management portal, just start up an image, so it, you will get a virtual machine running there. So let's switch that to my web browser. So if you go to susestudio.com, you will come to this site. You can sign on here. You can choose a way to sign on. I'm using my Google account. So there. I was already logged in, so I didn't have to enter any credentials. Here I see that I have already a number of so-called appliances images that I have created previously. Now I'm going to create a new one, so I create a new appliance. And here I will use a template. For now, if you want to try out the integration with Azure, please choose template SUSE Enterprise SP3 that has integration with Azure. The other will get it soon. So once you choose the template, you click on Create Appliance. This will take a couple of seconds, something like 10 seconds, and it will start creating my image, and I will be able to configure it. Let's see, soon it will be ready to do, so I can configure it. So there we are. Now I can go to software, for instance. It's a template, so it has a number of applications already it has chosen for me to install. If I want, I can remove stuff, and I can also, you can see here, packages that is going to install. I can also upload my own packages, my own applications. I can go further and configure it. I can choose which language to use, the time zones. I can add users to this image. I can say that I want to personalize it, what desktop to use, the background of it, etc., etc. Everything is by clicking. And I can also go to, if I go to appliances here, I can use for Azure, I can change, for instance, the disk size that I want to use. The default is 16 gigabytes. And if I scroll down a little bit more, there is this SUSE Manager option. If I click on this one, and as I mentioned just before, there is an integration with SCOM and SUSE Manager. If that is enabled to where I want to upload this, and this will bootstrap it, it will to SUSE Manager. And as we have an integration with SCOM, you will be able to, when we create the virtual machines out of it, also to manage the virtual machines in SCOM. You won't have to do anything. It will automatically appear, and you will be able to manage it from within SCOM. So I just enter here the IP address to SUSE Manager, and if it's integrated with SCOM, it will appear in SCOM. And I can upload files and so on. And when I say I'm done, here are the number of build formats. I can choose here Microsoft Azure. And then I'm clicking, when I click on build, It will take a couple of minutes and it will create my image for Azure. Because it will take a couple of minutes, I will just go to an existing one that I created previously, and I will just open it just to see after we have clicked on build. Where am I? This one. This is build for Azure. So as soon as I get it up, just show you here. This one I build it for. And here I will get a build. And when I click on the this button, upload, I can choose and which support level I want to have. I go for the basic. It depends on, you know, it's a matter of licensing. Here I have downloaded actually a credentials file, a settings file from my Azure account. So I have entered it, so I don't have to enter any credentials to send this stuff and upload it in Azure. So I just click on upload, and it will take something like 5 minutes, and this image will appear in my Azure portal. I have done it already a couple of times, so there are two images already there that I have sent over. So let's have a look at how this looks like there. Here they are. So what I can do, this is my Azure portal. So if I go to the gallery, I can see that if I look into my images, they are here. And I can choose to create virtual machines based on them. All right. So now let's have a look at the other solution, which is the integration of SCOM with SUSE Manager and how we can manage the Linux virtual machines in Azure. So for that, I'm going to use a remote desktop. And here we see SCOM. I'm already in there. This integration enables patch management as the primary function. And here I see the system, the Linux system that I am managing here. This one is a virtual machine that is based on a min image I exported from Studio. And if I choose this one, I can see that there are 30 available patches. I see them down here. I can click on Synopsis, and here I see the important ones. These are security patches, for instance. I can go down here and see what these are about, what they do, what's the issue, and what they are solving, the CVE database. I can choose a patch, and I can click on affected systems, so I can see which systems should be updated with these patches. I can choose them. Like, I can mark as many as I like, and then apply patches, so it will be applied to these Linux machines. Or I can go into the patches view. I can see all patches, and then I could choose, select them all, or select one and see which one machine is affected, and I can just apply this patch to this machine. So it makes it very simple to work with patches if I have a number of virtual machines running in my infrastructure. I can also do other things. You see here that we have packages. So I can install applications, in other words, on this. I can upgrade if I have already installed the packages. I can upgrade them. I can remove them. I can run remote commands. And there is other functionality. For instance, I can also see the health of my machines. So here, for instance, here are my Linux machines that I have in Azure. And I see for two of them, they have a critical state. And this says that their swap space is too low. So that was a quick demonstration of SCOM integrated with SUSE Manager. If you want extra features, you can also use the SUSE Manager interface, which is also up and running in the same environment, which looks like this. Here we have the same machines. We can patch them, you can auto-install and do many other things here. Right, thank you. So I would like to hand over now to Jonathan, yes.
Oh, I'll take this one. Yeah, okay. So let's see if we get the right screen here. There you go. Can everybody hear me? Yeah? Okay. So I like to introduce myself once again, because I, for the ones who didn't hear me, Jonathan, I work at Microsoft, like pre-sale usually. And today we're going to talk about Operations Management Suite. And in this session, we'll talk about it in the Linux context. Probably a lot of you have seen this slide. It's been on a lot of slide decks. Microsoft loves Linux, and we've been doing this for a while. And if we look at the history of what we've done to support Linux in our platforms and also in our services, there's quite a few things that we've done to make Linux work in our on our platforms and services. For example, I want to bring up a few ones, like the Hyper-V. We now have in the kernel injected drivers. So for the most of the Linux operating systems, we nowadays can just run them on top of a Hyper-V. And that also goes for Azure, as you see on your right side as well. In the System Center stack, as you saw here, we have integrations to SCOM. But we also have integration for our endpoint protection. So we have an agent, if you want to use like our malware agent on SUSE or another Linux distributions, you can install a malware agent, which is based on endpoint protection, and to get them protected that way. And it's very light agent, so it doesn't really use a lot of memory or CPU or stuff. And then, of course, we have in Configuration Manager, we have the Orchestrator and also SMA to do automations directly into Linux systems. If you look on the other side, we have released the desired state configuration. It's general available now. So you can do that as well. If you want your systems to look in a certain way, you can use the desired state to just remediate if they change with our products in PowerShell, and then it goes into OMI on the Linux system. And of course, the latest release, Operations Management Suite, that we're going to talk about today. The suite has kind of four different services. There is log analytics, there is automation, backup, and site recovery included in the suite. And it's like an add-on to SCOM as well. So that's where we put it after the SCOM presentation here. If you look how it works, if you haven't been to any other sessions of the Operations Management Suite, it looks like this. You kind of can have your service anywhere. So at the cloud service, or you can have them on-premise in your data center, or also as a service provider. It doesn't really matter, because our service is up in the cloud. So in Azure, we collect, for example, logs from the different locations that you have your servers. And this works, for example, on Windows, of course, but also on Linux. And you can see it says coming soon for the data center and also on the service provider side. That means that we have an agent that you can install on the Linux system. And I can announce today that we're going to release a public preview next week. So you can try it out if you want to. And I'm also going to show later on, because we have a private preview out that you can look at as well. So I'm going to show that a little fast here as well today. And I just got permission yesterday, so I haven't prepared that much about it, but we will go on anyway and look at it. Like I said, it's an add-on to System Center, so if you have a SCOM on site already, you can hook the Operations Management Suite up to that one and connect, and then the logs will be provided in that direction. As I mentioned, there's also automation in the suite, and of course you can use that on Linux as well, and also backup and site recovery. So, like I said, there will be a public preview next week, so you can download and try it yourself. It's based off three packages, as it looks today. It's an OMI package that we need on the Linux box. And then there's also a SCX package, which is the package for performance monitoring. And then, of course, it's the OMS agent as well. So when you install those, there exists a deb package and also a RPM package for those. So it's very easy to install. But also you have in the private preview of the Azure portal, you have the possibility to enable something called diagnostics and point out Azure storage account. By doing that, the logs will be transported from the Linux system down to this storage account. Then we hook up the OMS, the Operations Management Suite, to that storage account, and it will start collecting the logs from that storage account and put it into OMS. This goes for Azure today, so it's only available in Azure. And you can, of course, script this as well with the Azure CLI, if you looked at that as well. And if you look at performance counters, today it's only available with this agent that we're providing soon. I'll put on a screenshot how it looks like when you enable this in the Azure Preview Portal. You just go into the server you want to enable it on, go down to Diagnostics, and then hit on, I think it says, and point out the storage account that you want to put the logs on. And here's the way if you want to script this with Azure CLI. So you create a JSON file in this way, this case, and kick off this Azure VM extension set and set on the VM you want to set this on. And then we go into Azure and enable this. And then, of course, we have the agent. Like I said, there's packages, and they always get added to the kind of right place in Linux, so in the opt catalog, and also in the exceptor op, if you want to have kind of go in and make changes. And it's based on conf files, so if you want to make changes on the configuration, you just go into those files to adjust as you want to have it. And then you can see it's a process ID there that I grabbed out. When you go into OMS, you can search for logs, because all the logs will be collected based on syslog. And today we use our syslog engine to collect the logs. And it's very easy. It doesn't really matter if you're a Windows technician or a Linux technician or any other technician, like a Mac or something. The dashboard is very easy to understand and also look through the logs and do searches and analyze them and so on. You can build your own dashboard. There is a dashboard already from the beginning, but it's mostly focused on Windows, I'm afraid to say, with the solutions and everything. You have the possibility to build your own dashboard based on different queries that you do on the logs. And on my dashboard we have here, we can see how many Linux servers there are, how many people have logged on through SSH on the servers, if you want to track that. I also put authentication failures. So I have one server that has the normal port 22 on, and I can see how many is trying to log on that with the root credentials, just to have something to show here. And there have been quite a few attacks on that one, I must say. But also there is some other queries that I have added here for warnings and errors and so on. And then last night, we announced that we now have a phone application for iOS and Android as well. So I just want to add that slide up here. So let's see here. Let's move into some demo. So this is a dashboard that you enter when you log into Operations Management Suite. You can see different solutions, and today they're based on Windows, but probably in the future, very soon, there are going to be solutions that maybe also going to show you stuff around Linux as well. If you go into log search, you can do some log searching on all syslogs, records with errors, and so on. And these are kind of queries that you get with you when you install and configure OMS. So this is just the basic ones. You can, of course, create your own and save them. So this is the saved searches that you get when you install the product. You can also go into like wire data. If you have a Windows server on your network where your Linux servers are, the Windows Server is going to start collecting different traffic on the network. And here you can see, for example, that I have some information about SSH. And Windows is not using this, really. So all these logs are based on there is a Linux system that is using SSH. And you can see here the IP number that have been accessed through SSH. And you can also further down here see, for example, that it was a program called PuTTY that was accessing this server. So here you can drill down and see a lot of information. What you also can do is if you go back into log search, we go down to all syslogs. And it's very fast showing you all these logs that you have in your system. Here you can see it's 1.2 million. So you can spend a good afternoon looking through all this if you want to. We can always make a little less. Let's go for 1 day instead of 7 days, because I just want to know the last day. So then I have still quite a few logs to go through if I want to. I can start drill down and look for example different servers, and here you can see that I have a lot of Linux servers. I have Ubuntu, I have SUSE, I have opened SUSE, and I also have CentOS, I think. So big variety. I can down here look for example authentications and syslogs and all kinds of information, and down here I can also look for severity levels if I want that. And by just clicking on this, let's go for the SUSE 4 because we talk SUSE today. I get all the SUSE logs for the past day. So there's about 3,715 here. We can look through them if we want to here. Let's see. And you can also see up here how many logs are collected. What I can do, because it's way too many for me to just look through, I can group them. So by this minify, I can group them. And this will just the intelligence of Operations Management Suite will show me here that we grouped kind of this ones, looks the same. So we grouped them. And if I click on show more, I will see these four matches. And if you look at messages, we can see that this part is kind of the same part on all of them. But certain things are different, and that's why they're grouped. Let's move back to searches. Sometimes the messages are very long when they're collected from syslog. It can be like a whole page of just different information. And what you want to do there, you want to create custom fields. These fields are from the beginning, and there are quite a few more if depending on what kind of logs are collecting. But if you want, you can create your own custom fields here. And I created a custom field called rhost here. And if I look at one of these, I can see that when someone accessed here, I can see from what IP they've been accessing my box. So here you can see Palm, I think, authentication, someone has tried logged in, and you can see no user, so it's probably not a good they probably don't access my box, hopefully. I can see the IP that tried to access this machine over the internet. And I can look through this quite a lot here. But if I wanted to, I want to maybe create this myself. And now in demo purposes, I have created a query here. That's going to show that for you. And you do that by clicking on the messages in this case and extract fields. You can then mark the part that you want to kind of make your custom field from. You give it a name. You can. It's based on intelligence in the system, so you can say that this one is not the correct one. So it will learn after a while how the intelligence in the OMS will learn how you want your query to be, how it's gonna how it's gonna work. You can teach it kind of, and when that's done, it starts to look through your data, and it will take a while before this one shows up. But that's how easy it is to create your own custom fields based on the data in the system here. So I said that you can create your own dashboard, and of course you can do that, and that is on your left side. You saw that I clicked on my dashboard. Here I have some dashboards that shows kind of how many authentication, how many SSH logins that I have. And if I click on that one, I get drilled down to all the logs that are based on my query here. So here I can see all the information, who is logged in and who is accessed my box here. I can see there's some person called Yua, and I guess that's me. And it was successful logged in here. Then I promised that we have an agent as well, which are, at the moment, there's a private preview to install that one. You just run through these packages. And very easy. It's just to first install the OMI provider, then install this part, and then the OMS agent. And when it's done, you have to kind of show this package how to which workspace in OMS it's going to connect to. And of course, you have to have a key as well. So you add that to the installation, or the configuration, I must say. And when that's done, it's done to start putting up logs into Operations Management Suite. And here is some kind of weird error, so let's skip that one. Instead, let's go to the configuration part. Here you have the different configuration files. And in my case, I will go into the rsyslog.oms.conf file. And here you can see, I don't know if you can see it, it's a very nice color, the blue one. I added kind of everything. I want to log everything. But if you want to be more granular, you can, of course, add just the ones you want. And from the beginning, as it looks today, it looks more like this and not this one, like that, so that you can change if you want to. And I said also that you can collect performance monitoring here. You can, of course, do that as well. And that is in another configuration file. And it's based on OMI. So here you can go in and do your own configuration, what kind of parameters you want to collect. And when you collect the performance monitoring, you just go in here again. Type perf. Let's see if I need a big P probably. There we go. It's case sensitive. I can see here my Linux server. So let's see. Let's go for the CentOS this time. I can enter the different metrics here. Hopefully. If I just, there we go. And I can see the different disk IO, CPU, and so on for my server, which is collected, which is quite nice, I must say. So like I said, it's going to be a public preview next week. So go ahead and download that and try it out. That's all for me. I hand it off to Ryan.
All right, everyone. So, all right. So, someone's demo is going to have to break, and mine did. But I have a way that we can talk about this, and I'm kind of appreciate this because it gives me something to relate to with the last two slides I have to show you today. So this was actually a user error. When you're deploying ARM templates, there are certain aspects that are not checked for you, such as storage, public IP addresses, FQDNs, things that are already in use. So in my case here earlier, just in case everything exploded on my demo, because that can happen, I deployed a backup version of this, and I forgot to rename the storage container. So I tried to redeploy the demo I showed you with the exact same storage container name, and of course that name is taking, hence it failed. So what you're seeing right now is while Jonathan was giving his presentation, I went ahead and just restarted the deployment again. Now what's great about ARM template deployment, particularly from Visual Studio, is that I had already had XPLAT, the public IP address Chef Serve, SLES served, were already deployed in my environment. So if you're actually deploying to an existing deployment, the ARM template will know that because it knows it's deploying to a template, which in turn means it has idempotence. In other words, it realizes those resources are already there, so it won't try to redeploy them again. Because the Contoso Linux storage container name was already taking up somewhere else, that's why it failed. I renamed it to demo, and it is kicked off, and it's going right through, just chugging along. So what I can show you what will happen at the end of this and what's going on at the same time is that currently the Chef server installation script is currently going. It's been going now for roughly 15 minutes or so. So if I go to that IP address here, I can see that it is actually pretty much almost done with the deployment. And I can see that the management interface is actually completed. And I can see if I can log in to see if my first user has been created yet. And it hasn't, because that's the very last steps of the script, is the actual Chef user is being created. That's just something I decided to do at the end of the actual deployment. Now, to show you where those resource groups are at right now in Azure, is here's the one, deploy SUSE and Chef resource group. That is the actual demo one I showed you. Here's the actual backup one that I pushed out earlier today. And you can see the naming convention is basically the same minus backup. And you can see the Contoso Linux storage container that I forgot to rename. That being said, let me log out of here and log back in so you can see what this looks like. This is that backup version. Can log in here. And there's the actual node or the actual SLES box with it that's already been bootstrapped, it's added, it's ready to go. In addition to that, what I did with this deployment, just to show how far you can take this really, is I went ahead and custom created, you know, the standard Chef repo environment, the Chef development kit. The client, everything's there. Knife is already ready to go. And so I can already query and work with my Chef environment. It's all done. So if anything I want you to get out of this today is this, is that with ARM template deployment, yes, you can deploy VMs, storage, networking, woohoo, whoop-de-doo. You can do that with a lot of different tools. What this really allows you to do is to be able to take application-specific things that you deploy in your environment and automate the entire installation process from beginning to end and allow you to tear down and build up environments in Azure very, very quickly. All right, last two slides. Okay, so I always like to give the bad before the good, just because I like to end on a good note. So some of the challenges that you'll face. Azure Service Management has compatibility issues with Azure Resource Manager. The resources can work together, but managing the resources, you have to do it separately. So in other words, if you, for instance, if you deploy a set of resources in the ARM, you will not see those resources show up in the original Azure portal. So it's something to be aware of. You can, of course, make those resources work together. Just managing them becomes a little bit of more of a headache. If you're new to Azure, I'd recommend going forward and deploying resources using ARM, because that's the direction, frankly, Microsoft is going. Lack of documentation. There is quite a bit of good documentation on GitHub and from other blog posts on how to get started using ARM template deployment. Where you will run into issues is troubleshooting. And this is something that the community is actively trying to get resolved. Just be aware that's a current, not a bottleneck, but it's a bit of a nuisance right now. Usability limitations. You can only have resources defined in your template that go 5 levels deep. I haven't seen a need to actually go 5 levels deep in regards to declaring my VM deployment followed by a script, by another script, and another subscript. I just have not seen a reason to go that far yet. At that point, I would look into my structure of how I'm trying to deploy what I'm deploying first. All right, so there are no checks for existing resources before deployment begins, which I showed you. If you have a storage container out there that's currently in use and you try to redeploy that name, your deployment will fail and you'll be like me showing you how to troubleshoot that and redeploy your environment. Azure resource management in the Azure portal is currently under heavy development, so be aware of this. In general, it has been quite stable for a while now, but they are still actively developing it. And finally, this is a pet peeve of mine. It just kind of drives me nuts because I like using Docker and GitHub, and I like connecting the two for Docker file deployments. There's no support for private repositories on GitHub, and the aspect that if you have custom scripts out there in a private repo, you can't pull them down. This is something I have actually emailed to the Azure team, and I'm hoping they're going to resolve this soon because that's kind of a big pet peeve of mine. All right, here's the good. It is just flat out much easier to manage resources in ARM than it is in the old service portal. It's just easier to track dependencies, create your dependencies, tear down and build up environments very, very quickly. That far and away right there makes all of the negative aspects null and void in my view. Idempotence, as I showed you, if you've already deployed certain resources to a specific deployment in Visual Studio, ARM will recognize this and just say, okay, I know it exists, and continue to try to deploy the resources that do not exist. So that is very, very powerful, especially if you're used to using something like Chef, you're aware of using idempotence and baking it into your cookbooks. You can deploy templates from GitHub. I have some out there in my repository, Starkfell, that you can actually, there's a nice Azure icon, you can click on it, it will send you to the Azure portal, and you can immediately deploy what's in that template into your environment and just customize the parameters for whatever needs you want, and it'll allow you to play with ARM templates a bit more to get an idea of how they work. Role-based access control is available in ARM by default, which that's a big plus compared to Azure Service Management. And finally, if you start using ARM templates now and you decide to use Azure Stack for a private cloud on site, you can use those ARM templates in Azure Stack. So you have a much quicker ability to change ahead of the curve, so to speak, if in fact you start using on-prem private cloud in 2016 with Azure Stack. And last but not least, just real quick, if in fact you can make this and you live around here, the Microsoft Azure Tour in Stockholm is occurring on November 18th. We welcome you to sign up and join. If I remember correctly, there are supposed to be 12 members of the main product groups from Microsoft and Redmond coming in to speak at this event. There's room for 1,000 people. Currently, 600 have signed up. So I recommend, if you're interested in this, to sign up very soon. Questions? All right. Jonathan, did you want to say anything?
No, I'm fine. Please okay. Come ahead, and if you have questions, we can meet at either here or in
booth D15.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.